We Want Control. Heute dürft ihr euch auf das zweite internationale MSP-Interview freuen. Ich durfte mit Craig Fayers, dem Commercial Director bei Arc Systems, über den Ausgangspunkt ihrer MSP-Journey sprechen und darüber, wie sich die Security-Lösung auf ihre technische und auch auf ihre Vertriebsorganisation bei heute über 60 Mitarbeitenden auswirken. Craig sagt unter anderem, wenn wir mehr Kontrolle über die Dinge haben, und es klingt ein wenig seltsam, dass wir diese Kontrolle haben wollen, tun wir das, weil wir damit die Infrastrukturen, die ein Problem darstellen, bewegen können. Für uns ging es vor allem darum, dass die Menschen bei uns die Technologie und den Service bereitstellen, die Themen so schnell wie möglich abdecken und weniger Zeit verlieren. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß mit diesem Interview mit Craig Fayers und hoffe, dass ihr viele spannende Einblicke gewinnt. Hi, Craig. Thank you for joining MSP Journey and for sharing your experiences around managed security services.
Good morning, Alf. Thanks very much for inviting us along. Great to talk.
Please tell us at first a little bit about your personal background and also about your company.
Yeah, absolutely. So my personal background is quite technical. So as a company, we are quite tech heavy. I've been with the business around 20 years. So from when it first real started as an MSP, and now we are much larger, a much bigger business since then as we've grown. But for me, the transition has been from a technical into a consultancy and more sales-based background as our focus has switched from normal sales roles into a bit more of a technical advisory role as part of our MSP journey.
Maybe you're some kind of front runner for what other guys now who want to develop themselves from this technical background to doing more consulting and services. But have a look to Arc Systems. When did the managed service journey at your company did start? And how did it start?
It's been a bit of an unusual journey for us because where we are 20-odd years old, it started off with the support offering. Before that, we were very much just supplying goods. And then some of those customers turned around to us and said, can you help us support some of these services or equipment that you're supplying? And we said, yeah, certainly. So where that's changed over the years is we started life as just being a support provider. We've moved that into other solutions that our customers wanted a better service from. Mm-hmm. So originally that was an internet service provider because we supplied internet through an ISP here in the UK. We had a lot of our engineers spending time on the phone with people and we couldn't fix the problem as quickly as we wanted to. So we said, right, we could do that better ourselves. And then that's how really we've grown. We've built a lot of very close vendor relationships over the years and really put ourselves in with the best of breed to make sure that we can offer our customers and our partners the best experience and the best service in terms of wraparound and fixed times.
So maybe it's fair to say that both your customers and you from an internal perspective wanted to provide more quality in your services, if I understand you right.
That's exactly right. Yes, because if we have more control over things, and it sounds a bit strange that we want the control, but we do because that means we can fix the things that are a problem. Mm-hmm. So for us, that was all about being the people that supplied the technology and the service to be able to fix the issue as quickly as possible and have less downtime. And that also meant less downtime or less on-site engineering time or engineering time remotely for our engineers as well. So we could fix things quicker, the problems resolved faster for the customer, and we spent less time having to fix the problem. And that sounds slightly selfish, but it gives everyone a good experience.
And in the starting stage, did you have already in mind this proactive attitude? So the one side is what you just mentioned, to be faster and to have less issues and be faster in resolving these issues. But the managed service mindset is to be proactive that there are no or less issues than before. Did you at the starting stage also have this attitude in mind?
It was very reactive when we started, really.
Okay.
And I think as productivity's moved along in the industry as well, I mean, there was not a lot of monitoring and management that we really had at that point. Mm-hmm. You know, if we go back 20 years, there was very little that we could right. say we were proactively monitoring. But these days, everything we do is proactively monitored, be the security or the connectivity or even things as simple as our customers expect us to know what devices they've got, how old they are, what ones are the weak points, what ones are the strong points, what's new, what's old, so we can asset manage for them as well. So that it encompasses as much as possible. Now, the more proactiveness we can do, the better service our customers receive.
In this journey, there probably is a change in the technical department and also in the sales department of your company. Let's start with a view in the technical department, and then we go to marketing and sales. I guess sure. both has changed over the years doing managed services. How was your technical department or your technical teams organized before you started your journey? And when did you decide, oh, we have maybe something to change in our internal processes or in our structures?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. When we first started out as a support company and then moved into a managed service provider, it was very much a break-fix-based world that we lived in. Somebody would phone you up. And actually, when I joined the business, we had a lot of engineers that were going out. So you'd phone and you'd book mm-hmm. a call for an engineer to visit rather than remotely fix the problem. Obviously, the world we live in now with fast internet connectivity means that everything we do, 95%+ of the issues we see can be fixed remotely. Our technical team has changed from being engineer skills out on the road quite so much to being more remote technical people. We still have people that are out and about because we have to go and visit. You know, mm-hmm. we visit customers and we still fix problems, tangible issues that we can't resolve remotely. But for us, it's about the depth of structure as well. So our engineering team has grown hugely in that time. You know, when I first joined the business, we were about 15 staff. We're 60, just over 60 people now. And our engineering team is almost half of the business.
Yeah.
So we've structured it in a typical kind of first, second, and third line structure. But we've also proactive security monitoring, a proactive security team around that, going up then through the first, second, and third line to enterprise architect style consultants who are technical for design purposes rather than working from a support perspective.
I was frequently asked when to start this managed service business as part of the overall company. If the provider should have dedicated resources, even in the start stage of the journey, or if you have a broader view and maybe you have 10 technicians, as you mentioned, and say, okay, 8 out of 10 maybe should be taught around the monitoring, the patching, et cetera, et cetera. So go you the path with a more dedicated, so a smaller group of dedicated managed guys or the broader view in your technical department?
Yeah, I think we've gone a bit broader, really, because if we look at how the managed service works for us, it's all around the monitoring piece. And for us, the monitoring comes from our PSA or our CRM, something you could call it, where it bolts in the application for monitoring and management into the ticketing system that we have. So all of our engineers have to be capable of picking up a particular ticket or a particular alert or monitoring system that's coming through. Where that changes slightly is where you have specific security alerts mm-hmm. or, you know, we're not talking about disk space running out or a system that's gone offline. We're talking about there might have been a threat of a breach or an infection or something like that. And that's where we've really honed in the skill sets to make sure that our team are looking and picking up the right areas, because we don't really want someone who's hardware specific or be more break fix based looking at a security based problem that has a certain set of expertise with it as well. So where our team has expanded, we have then brought in a whole security team to work on the managed service piece as well, to make sure that we've got the right people picking up the right issues and looking at the right systems. And even from a proactive perspective as well, that means that they're looking at what systems are out there, what updates are applied, what patches are on systems for particular threats, as well as the sort of day-to-day stuff of is the system up? Is the security offering the best level of protection? Is it set up correctly? And trying to minimize that threat landscape.
So the, in, for instance, these security specialists, they are doing the plannable recurring jobs also with the analysis of maybe probably an incident or an incident response from your, from the ARC system's reaction to what really happens now at the customer side. So there, if I understand you right, there is, there are these security guys and they're doing both. They're doing this recurring plannable stuff also with a fast reaction to threats at the customer side.
That's right, yeah, because all the threat alerts that we see come through into a centralized dashboard, so we can see what's going on a bit more. We can tie up the reoccurrences between those as well. But we offer a specific service around that as well, which we call our security review service, and that goes through all of the areas that a system could be compromised through in terms of vulnerability scanning and user groups and permissions. And it works into the Cyber Essentials standard as well to make sure that our customers are at a certain level for their security. But it goes quite a bit beyond that as well in terms of making sure that all of the systems we supply and work with all bolt together to minimize that risk and that threat to the companies we partner with.
Let's have a look at your portfolio in terms of these managed or managed security services. So what are the key pillars of your portfolio if you want to convince me becoming a new ARC Systems customer and we speak about security tools or security solutions, what will you mention first in our dialogue?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing we like to do when we speak to somebody new is understand what they've got already, because it may be that we don't need to change
it. I only have an antivirus. Okay, 12 great. Clients.
So if we already have an antivirus, then we need to look at what that antivirus
and the
is
Fritz
doing.
Box.
That's the, yeah, that's the, that. So it's all about visibility at that point then, isn't it? Is, you know, what can we see? It will a Fritzbox give us the ability to tell what is coming in and out of the network? For example, what threats are we seeing externally? If the antivirus is there, is it set up to maybe block USB or stop users going to certain websites for a bit of web filtering? But for us, it's about the right vendors as well. We partner with Sophos and Mimecast for email filtering and endpoint and server protection. And we use the MDR service from Sophos as well. So we get the 24/7 security response there too. Which also means our team don't have to always be online 24/7. We're not a 24/7 outfit in terms of the security side of things. So there's always someone there looking at what's going on. But the support thing, the support side of it is definitely a 24/7 operation. We've got people that are available 24/7 for security, or sorry, for support tickets if our customers that have that service need it.
Would you propose in our example sales dialogue to do something like a security audit or something like this before you create an offer and make a suggestion what I should enhance in my toolset?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we normally will sit down with the customer and we'll go through a baseline security audit of what they've currently got, where the risks are in terms of user mobility, where the risks are in terms of how the customer engages with its customers as well. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes we see customers who have to send secure information. They're not using things like secure email. So getting a real good baseline of where the risks are and then saying we can close those risks off by using these certain services. And then hopefully at the end of that, we can go through a process where we can say, you know, we almost like tick the list off to say, yes, we've got those areas covered. Because our customers don't want to be sat there managing their security. They want us to do that for them. Mm-hmm. And they want us to say that they've got the best of breed security to make sure they can do what they do as a business and we take care of what we do as a business. And tie those two together, we cover them and we make sure that they're as secure as they can be so they can have the least disruption and the best possible security.
Did you develop this baseline security audit you mentioned by yourself or...?
Partly. A lot of it comes from the Cyber Essentials system, which is a government initiative, which anyone in the public sector framework and suppliers in the public sector should be on the Cyber Essentials framework. And it's becoming quite a large piece of tenders now that we see as well. So and we're seeing a lot of security questions and requirements coming from cyber insurances as well. So a lot of cyber insurers now want to see that you're looking at your Microsoft 365 Secure Score, that you're doing your Cyber Essentials so they understand that you're not at risk anywhere. So that obviously makes it easier for them in terms of insurance, but it certainly makes it easier for the customer as well. So the baseline is a mixture of us and industry standard, as well as vendors. You know, what do vendors bring to the table? And if we can slot in a service to that that fixes a lot of the security problems, then great. It makes life very easy for everybody.
And if I agree in the future to that your company can execute this security audit, will there be some consultants of your organization to do this, or is the sales reps are doing this audit?
There's a mixture. So the initial conversation would be with somebody from our sales team. That would lead into somebody technical from our security mm-hmm. team coming in and running through, because some of the things that we can see on systems aren't necessarily what the business is doing. So in terms of user mobility, for example, you know, our users working from home, you could walk into an office with 20 people and they could have twice as many people as that at home. So really understanding how the business works mm-hmm. is key. And that would come from our security team. So they would go onto systems and run through everything to make sure that they can see exactly how the business works from a security perspective. And then we make sure we dovetail the right services into to offer the level of security and service that our customers want. Yeah.
And I assume if there is a consultant involved, you maybe will try to charge me for this. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's money to be made there. Yeah. That's it. That's the thing. You know, there's, yes, there is some time. I mean, for us, it does move into a monthly service. So we try and keep the upfront as low as possible.
Okay.
Part of the MSP world that we live in, particularly as a business, is that all of our services, or most of our services, are per user per month. You know, we've seen it go through with a lot of the big vendors. The Microsoft world is all 365 world is now per user per month. And all of our services, I think, now are per user per month. It just makes it very flexible. So when someone onboards a new user, they can see exactly what their user cost is and how they add one more user to that setup.
Interesting. If I have with my 12 clients, my 12 employees, or 11, I'm the 12th, and we have, let's say we have five virtual machines. However, are a market research company. We have lots of data and we need five virtual machines. So did you sum up the EDR or whatever, the endpoint security for these five virtual machines and put this into the user price? Or do I have an excluded fee for the security of these five virtual machines?
Yeah, normally we'll do it on a per server and per user basis. Okay. So it makes it very straightforward. So we can straight away see that there's X number of hosts or mm-hmm. virtual servers or cloud resource or public service, public cloud in that sense as well. So it keeps it very simple that per server, per user, and we can see how the structure goes. Although obviously these days we're seeing a lot of companies now who are moving serverless and taking software as a service more than they are
right.
hardware. I mean, the amount of hardware we supply now as a company, especially on the server side of it, is so much lower than it used to be. It used to be daily server quotes, but now we're seeing that's moving to one or two a month realistically for actual server supply now, and everything, you know, most companies will move their data into 365, but that doesn't necessarily fit everybody. A company like yourselves and architects that have got large volumes of data, some of that data isn't 365 and SharePoint friendly. It needs to be on a server or a different service to make that fit.
And there also is something like the cloud in between going to SaaS or having on-prem IT.
That's right.
Okay. In this journey, before we have one additional look to the sales side, in this journey and the development of the technical department, are there, and you say the half of your company are technical guys, so 30 probably or approximately 30.
Mm. Yeah,
I guess there are different teams. So maybe a brief overview of the structure, the organization of these 30 guys who are in your technical department.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got our remote support team, which is the first, second, and third line engineers. We've got the enterprise architects, which sit above them in terms of expertise, who design our data center work and the cloud stuff that we do that's private cloud. We've got on-site engineers as well who will be out and about doing the physical fixing. There's a handful of engineers there as well. And then we've got the security team. We've got the managed backup team as well. So we offer a business continuity service, and that's managed by a separate team too. So there's a few different areas. I think as the business has grown, those areas have been broken out because You can't get a whole team to manage a backup service. You want someone who knows the backup solution and is working with RPOs and RTOs and knows the customer requirements, and they can be a bit more focused on backup in its own right rather than trying to sort of dilute that knowledge into the team. You have the specialist side of things, really. And I think we're seeing a bit more of that from a pre-sales perspective as well, that we have, you know, we're starting to get pre-sales specialists into the business now who are experts in their field. So they won't be doing the normal support role. There'll be more of a sales support role and a pre-sales role, which is a bit unusual for us because, you know, as the company's grown, that expertise is needed more in sales as the sales ultimately with the solutions being now have become more technical.
In the MSP journey project, we did several surveys and we asked what are the key competences for sales guys to be really successful doing managed service business. And on the top second place was a technical competence. That's one of the key success factors for right now. Maybe not 20 years ago, but right now, for sales guys, it's not drinking coffee. It's not making appointments and being on time at the customer side. That's mandatory for all the last 20 years and for the upcoming 20 years. It's respect to the customer. Mm. But the customer expects also knowledge at the sales side and really helpful insights into their business and not only having prices for predefined services that you can Google or be in a self-service portal. The sales perspective. Craig, how many sales representatives do you have in your team or at ARC Systems?
Our team sales-wise is 10 people. And that's a mixture of account management, a bit of new business, some telesales in there as well. We like our account management team to go and see customers, to be in front of them. Obviously, the world that we've moved into post-COVID is more remote as we are.
Right.
You know, a lot of time we prefer to get people in front of people because we still prefer to do business face-to-face. But there's a good split actually in our sales team that about half of them are technical and half of them are less technical, because that means that there's technical resource, or we can partner up with technical people while still having a sales function. You know, our sales team still need to be salespeople. They still need to be able to sell. But you're absolutely right that we see a lot more requirement for technical knowledge as part of the sale and not necessarily through another party. It's often through the person that's there in the meeting. So myself, I'm a product of that, where I'm an engineer that's gone from an engineering background into a more sales background. And I think for me, that's because I was an engineer that was going out and doing the installations and advising customers a bit more naturally, I guess you could say, on what I think they should do as an engineer. So, and obviously the business recognized that several years ago and said, well, you've had to come and do a bit of selling. But it's an unusual step for a lot of technical people because they kind of go, oh, there's always a bit of a gap between technical and sales. And to take that jump is a big one for a lot of technical people because there's a bit more responsibility in terms of numbers and that kind of thing in commitments for the business, and there is the technical piece.
There's another kind of value we all have to do in this role of a sales representative. How do you enable or empower yourself and also your sales team in this journey or this switch from doing transactional business to doing subscriptions, even Microsoft subscriptions? But we can all say, oh, Microsoft wants this. So it's not up to us. But the managed service or the managed security service decisions are coming from ARC Systems, not from one of these huge vendors. Mm. So how did you empower or enable your sales team?
Yeah, for us, it's about starting with the vendor-based training. Mm-hmm. So most vendors have a portal where you can log into and go through the basic sales and technical training. And we like our sales team to do the sales and technical basic trainings just so that they have a rounded view of the solution. They can bring somebody in technically if they need to, but I think if we get them to the stage where they technically baseline understand the solution and commercially understand the solution, then you can sit and have a real engage in conversation with the customer to make sure that they are seeing all the benefits commercially and technically of the service. But it can be a bit of a challenge sometimes. Microsoft's a great example of regular changes to NCE, for example, that we've seen over the last couple of years. There's been a lot of new knowledge and new training that's had to happen as part of that. And it's also meant change for our customers, longer commitments for licenses, less flexibility for certain licenses. It can be difficult from a sales conversation to say, well, you can't change licenses necessarily mm-hmm. unless you switch to a different version. And, but that sometimes that's just the conversation that has to be happening. I think as long as you're with the customer and you're giving them a good run up to when those changes have to be made by. So there's, you're not just turning up on the last day and going, oh, tomorrow we need to change something. As long as you've got a good run up and you're setting a good expectation for the future of what's coming and you're talking to your customers and you're talking to the vendors, then I think you're in a strong position.
Did you experience a distinction between new customers, new leads and talking about managed services versus your existing customer base, maybe 20 years working with Arc Systems, having unfortunately maybe not the best hourly rate from your price list because they are traditional and loyal customers, they're good ones. Are there differences in driving them to use more managed services?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think years gone by, we've seen customers that would start with support, and it used to always be we would pitch support to the customer, and that would be the first sale normally that we do. What we see now is that we bring on customers who will bring to us from day one 5 or 6 services mm-hmm. from the start. So it certainly makes customers more sticky and makes them harder to bring into the business, because all of those services tend to have, if they're not coterminous, they have different end dates, different structures and obviously financial values as well. But as long as we understand that with the customer, then we can help them understand what we can bring over when. So maybe we'll start with the support and we'll go, right, with day one we'll support you from X date, and then 3 months time we'll move the email filter in, month after that we'll move the antivirus, and then we'll pick up 365 NCE when it comes around. Because as I said earlier, we like to be in control as much as we can of being able to be responsible for the systems that their customers have.
Back to our sales dialogue, will you lay out this roadmap for me? What you just said with the phase one is we will do support, then we will maybe migrate the mailing to the M365 mailing with some mail archive, mail security, and whatever. So, will you lay out this roadmap from the start on to the customer?
Absolutely right. Yeah, because I think it's good for us and the customer to understand when things are likely to renew, because it could be the case of we've got 2-3 services and another MSP has got a couple of services, and if they're going to turn off one service before it's migrated, we have to make sure we've got all those dates lined up. So what we normally like to do in the first conversation is that what contracts have we got, what dates do they expire, and then we look at how we can move over, because nobody wants to be sat there and have a conversation, well, I'm only 3 months into a 3-year contract, because the customer may say, yes, I want to move, but they may be contracted with another MSP, which means they can't. So, certainly the first conversation is, what have you got contractual-wise, and how, what is the unit count for it and the service that's there, and when does it expire, and what's the notice period, and how do we look to move that into our service?
I have, I guess, over 20 years in personal sales experience, and from my perspective, the salespeople try to have to go the easy way sometimes. So, from all these managed security services, you mentioned MDR or EDR or awareness training, backup, and whatever. There's a whole world, an ecosystem of managed security systems.
That's right.
Are there easier ones in terms of a sales dialogue or more sophisticated ones? So if I'm a sales guy who wants to walk the easy path, what is your recommendation, Olaf? Maybe start with these 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's perfect when a customer's already using a service that we supply. So, for example, we work with Sophos. If a customer's already on Sophos, we can move the license if they're on MSP, or we can help them renew it if it's on a terms agreement. Sometimes there's an easy path. If a customer doesn't have all of those services, or they haven't been advised by their current MSP on what they should go for, and they've kind of sort of found their way themselves, or they haven't had a good experience from their current MSP, because there isn't anything to directly replace sometimes. But sometimes it just can be a difficult conversation. It can just be that we need to have an outline of what services are where and how much they are, and we need to set a roadmap which may last 12, 18 months maybe, or longer. Sometimes there is no easy path, and we just have to make sure that we work through our own processes and that we are setting the right expectation with our own team and the customer of what we can support when, what we can move when. And as long as we all know that, it tends to work fairly smoothly.
But I guess in terms of the separate services, maybe there are some more critical services like the backup model the customer right now uses and what you and your consultant is recommending. Maybe there are some more business critical services where you even more strongly recommend to do this not after 18 months, but maybe within the next 3 months. So
yeah,
what are these business critical security services from your point of view?
Yeah, from a security perspective, there's the email filtering is a big one for us. The antivirus is obviously a big one for us as well. Mm-hmm. But from a customer's perspective, that stuff runs and does its thing day to day. The biggest concern for customers is normally, is my data secure in terms of backup? Mm-hmm. And can my users speak to somebody if there's a problem? Because they're the disruptive things. If a system goes offline, who do they call? How do they call? You know, what's the response time? Is the data there? Is it backed up? There's a few elements. There's a few bits that we like to make sure that we've got control of if we can from day one. And sometimes that might mean that we do a competitive displacement in some way where we might give some extra time, some sort of double coverage with the current MSP so we can bring ourselves in, as we move forward to make sure the customer's got coverage.
If we try to have a look to the future, even if the future is unknown, especially in terms of security things, but I guess statistics say there are a lot more threat actors now than 1, 2, 3 years ago. So maybe what are your plans in your managed service journey at ARC Systems? What are you trying to establish or to test or to evaluate next year? What are your plans?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. We're always trying to be best of breed when it comes to security. The vendors are changing things quite quickly. An example, we spoke about MDR very briefly earlier, that's a relatively new thing on the market but offers a great level of security. And it's about sticking close with the vendors to make sure that if something new is coming, you know it's coming and that you know how that fits into your product portfolio as well. So it can be tricky sometimes, trying to see what the future is going to bring. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of AI talk at the moment, and then a lot of vendors are going, they're bringing AI into software, mm-hmm. but it brings a lot of scare with it as well. But we're also seeing a lot of vendors that are bringing AI into security and protection and that kind of thing as well. So I assume you're almost going to end up with an AI sort of deadlock in the future. AI battles AI, but it's it's interesting because there's where it's always moving. We're always making sure that we are not on the bleeding edge of technology, but making sure we're on the edge of technology. So what is the best technology at that particular time, which does mean reviewing vendors and talking to different companies and going to seminars and webinars and different bits that we can say, we know what these services are. We know what they bring to our customer base. And then we sit down with our customers and say, this is coming in the future. We've got this service that can bring or fix this problem. And then really making sure that we've got all the right materials so our teams can deliver that service. We work heavily with ISO. We're ISO 9001 and 27001, so we're quite process-driven as a business. So we can't just go, here's a new service, we start selling it tomorrow. There's a whole onboarding procedure to make sure our team are trained and accredited as they need to be so that we can deliver it correctly.
One last question, Craig. if you're at a conference or whatever, we speak with another IT company who says, are we next year, we want to start this managed service thing. What will be your one and only recommendation for this good looking guy in front of you?
that's a tricky one. It depends on what kind of service it is. I mean, I'm not sure if there'd be one recommendation because it will vary so much from one managed service to another. But I think the one piece of advice I would give is to be a managed service provider. You can't just be a support company anymore. You know, you have to be managing proactively and advising your customers because they don't just look at us for a support function. They look at us for, as trusted advisors. You know, we bring value to the business that we're working with. And that customer, no matter what size they are, may not have the expertise in-house that you can bring to them. So it's about getting close to customers, understand how their business works, understand what they need, put the right solution in, and then the rest of it should be nice and simple from there, in theory.
Craig, thank you very much. I really like this customer focus in your recommendation. Thank you very much. Have a good time.
Brilliant. Thank you.